What is going on, everybody? We are back once again, the Sports Authority and other stuff. As for the time being, I'm one of your hosts. I'm having some technical difficulties over here. I'm trying to bring my man in. So I'm going to talk as I'm trying to bring him in. I see you there, Paris. I'm just trying to get you in here. If you're a fantasy football player, you know where you are. You know exactly where you stand. You know what money you did or didn't win. Real football is coming down to it the last few weeks. NBA, we've got Russ, 6 straight triple-doubles. I think the only people to do that are Oscar, Wilt, and – no, he's got 6. So the only people to do that are Oscar, Wilt, and Jordan, if I recall, as far as in a row. You have Clay going for 60. The White Sox made a deal today. Harris and I will give our personal opinions on that. Overall, just have the winter meetings going on. Hockey is going. So I think I got Paris in here. What's up, man? How you doing this evening, brother?
This is a rough day. I've watched Chris Sale get traded, and now I'm watching the Bulls, and I swear to God, whenever we go to our bench, we might as well just give the – whoever we're playing, it doesn't matter – just give them a arbitrary 7 to 12 point run. Just give it to them. Just give it to them.
It's times like this, and I remember last year we lost. When Heinrich wasn't around, there were times when we said, "I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I miss Kirk." And this is one of those times where people, if you didn't appreciate MCW, if you didn't appreciate. Who else is out right now? Who am I missing? I'm missing Dougie McDermott.
Well, the big,
you know,
yeah,
not that they're great players, but they're better than players that are coming out. You know, Dougie gives you a little bit of offense. You know, he's not necessarily a defensive player, but, you know, and you know, we're struggling right there with that bench, man. Our bench really wasn't good to start. And then when you lose your top two guys off the bench, your top two guys off the bench – that's a problem, man. That's a problem.
And this is why I always say, you know, we like to – I'm just going to go on a little tangent here for a quick second. Bear with me. And this is why I like to
say – go ahead, bro.
A lot of times, you know, people like to criticize these NBA coaches, you know, and especially NBA more than any other sport. And I remember last year, Bulls fans, you know, that whole free Bobby thing, you know. Portis needs to play more. Portis not paying enough, yada, yada, yada. You know, Bobby Portis this, Bobby Portis that. And now this year, like I always said, there's a reason Bobby Portis was drafted, 22nd, 23rd? And he's showing us why. He has holes in his game. So sometimes we really do need to give these dudes the benefit of the doubt that they exactly know what the hell they're doing. And there's a reason why players are where they are. And there's a reason why guys are in the pecking order. And there's a reason why guys are on the bench, and there's a reason why guys don't play every night.
We're not going to get into it yet, but are you going to give the White Sox that same benefit of the doubt when we talk about them later?
No.
All right, go ahead.
It's as I told you earlier. Because
looking
at the packages that was on the table – and what we know and what's reported, I felt like we took the second best package out of two. It was only two teams involved when it all got down to the nitty-gritty. Now, me and you talked last week. You know how I felt about Neil and Sale. I wouldn't have done it, but okay, if you got to do it, all right, whatever. You got to do it, I guess. But at the same time, just maximize your output. My only thing is I just have a problem trading, and I don't care if it's – one of your better players in the NBA, it would be like if the Angels traded Mike Trout. If I was an Angels fan, I would be really disgusted if you traded, you know, Mike Trout and didn't get one major league player back. You got to give me at least one guy that can play now. I understand the prospect angle, but you got to give me, you know, one guy to sort of prove it to a certain point that I can rely on now.
Okay.
You know, and that's where I'm at with that. But I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the beautiful thing about it, at the end of the day, I was talking to one of my coworkers, and I said, you know, because me and him, we somewhat differed in opinions a little bit. And I said, well, the beautiful thing about it is neither one of us are wrong right now, because you don't really know anything about minor league players. I don't really know anything about minor league players. I said, so all we can do is have opinions and just remember what they were and then, you know, come back to them at a later date. So that's the beautiful thing about that discussion that we're going to have later. Paris, man, right. What are your thoughts on Russell Westbrook? Dude has gone crazy. And more importantly, you know, because the first thing, the first question I asked, all right, that's cute. He's got 6 doubles in a row. What's their record? It's 6-0. It's 6-0. Russ is carrying that team, man. What are your thoughts on Russell Westbrook, what he's done? You and I have seen, you know, I'm 46, you're 35 or whatever you claim to be. So we've seen a lot of basketball in our years.
Right.
We saw Mike do it 7 times in a row. What are your thoughts on what you've seen so far with Russ?
It's impressive. It's cool. At the end of the day, they'll finish like 5th, 6th in the West and be going in the first round. But, I mean, it's cool to watch. It's cool to watch him do like this one-man game thing. And one thing I brought up in the sports group about a month ago is something I noticed. And I know another guy in the group noticed it too, is that sometimes he does this thing where he pads stats. And that's the only thing that makes me go, yeah, I mean, it's a hell of an accomplishment. Let me reword that, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm taking anything away from Russ.
Cause yeah, because like people will play with your words, yes.
It's not like anybody else in the NBA can do what he's doing. So, you know, you got to give him that. But sometimes when I watch and I see him, you know, sort of padding stats, it makes me wonder sometimes, okay, Bulls, I see you, Jimmy. It sort of makes you wonder, is this natural, or is it something that he's intentionally trying to do every night? And I think there's a difference.
Yeah.
But for instance, what I'm talking about is on the free throws, right? When the opposing team shoots free throws, he's the only point guard I've seen that lines up as the third man in the block. So every night, if you do that, and especially, you know, you play against a team with bad free throw shooters, you can steal an easy 3 rebounds a night. Because the 2 bigs boxed out, he steps in, gets the rebound, and falls to his head. Now, I know JB, the Brown Laker Bandit, also noticed this. So when I see little things like that, I always wonder, like, okay, this is impressive, man, and it's real cool. But I also feel like it's something that he sets out to do every night.
So very Ricky Davis-ish. Very Ricky Davis-ish. When you throw, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Right.
That point of, he knows what's going on, and he's doing what he can to get it. You know,
right.
For those that don't know, Ricky Davis threw the ball off the wrong backboard to try to get a rebound. But.
You know, it's not like one of those things where you out there balling and you getting down and you know, and you look up and it's the fourth quarter and one assistant coach is telling you, hey, man, hey, you 1 rebound away from a triple-double. You know, okay. No, it's one of those things where you come into the game, it's like, all right, maybe go and get this triple-double tonight. But
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the 2K game when you had, like, because my player on there, I would try to get triple doubles. I would go to the hole and pass up on layups to get the assist. You know, I would leave my man on defense to go get a rebound.
Right.
But they're winning. Yeah, you know, it's hard to argue with the 6 wins. If they were 0-6 or 3-3, it's hard to argue
it'll
with 6 and 0.
Out. You know, I'm interested to see this team, but it'll average out. But I sort of really don't want to talk about Russ because I feel like we talk about him enough. You know, I sort of like where you was going with the fantasy football thing because I think I'm retiring after this year because I can't take the stress. I mean, I'm already stressing in the games haven't even started Sunday. You know, I managed to blow a couple of games this weekend, which dropped me from the first place seed to the fourth place seed. And so I'm like,
Well, fortunately for me, I'm second seed in one league, won my division. I'm fourth seed in my league. We have three divisions, so I won my division, but overall record fourth seed. In another league, fifth seed. So second, fourth, and fifth. I can live with that because I get a bye in the league with my best seed. And the other two teams, I got chances to win this week. So I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, I forgot the Bears league, although I haven't checked my lineup in like 4 weeks. I don't even know what I'm doing over there.
Yeah,
once I got my money back, Paris, once I got my money back, I
hey,
I'm not going to lie, man. I was 5-1. I was 5-1 until the money got returned. I don't know what happened after that.
Hey,
man.
After to use one of my favorite quotes that I feel like I can work into the show every week. As soon as I got that money back in my PayPal, I let go of the rope. I went in there. I would go in there Sunday morning and look at my lineup and go, "Oh man, why did I pick this guy up off the waiver wire?" Oh yeah, because I don't care. So
I looked at my lineup and said, "Oh wow, I got three buys this week. Oh, well, the game's already started."
Well, that's what happens when the integrity of the league is questioned, and you know it goes downhill from there. But in one league, I was laughing when you were talking because I know we've had this talk before, and I caught myself because I was frustrated that I beat the guy in first place. And I'm in fourth place, and he has it set up on points instead of head-to-head. And I had to catch myself because I almost became that guy that everything is cool, but then at the end of the year, you want to start complaining about rules?
I
called myself, but I was like, you know, this is a main guy that I hate. In fantasy leagues, and I'm like, I was about to become him. I was about to become that. Hey, you know, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like this, but I said nothing in August. I didn't say a word. I looked at the rules and agreed.
That's what I was just about to say. You know, there's a time to moan and groan, so to speak, and complain about the rules, and it's not once the playoff seedings are set.
Pretty much.
You know,
pretty much. That's why. Sometimes you just got to check yourself. And that's what I did.
That was a good move, especially since you are the president of the I Ain't Trying to Hear That league. You're the you ain't trying to hear that ish, you know, club. But you know it's one of those things, man. People think that, you know, they have the money coming, and then when the stuff hits the fan, you really don't. Like, you know, I'm in a league where I have a better record against the guy. I've got the head-to-head advantage. I've scored more points, but he's in a different division and had a better division record. I think that's stupid. I think it's really stupid since we were in different divisions. And the guy in my division went 12-1, and I was in second place. But it was in the rules at the beginning. There's really no room for me to complain about that. So let me ask you a question. This week, since we're going to talk a little fantasy football real quick, I'm going to throw a matchup at you. I'm looking at the one team that I really have questions about. Mm-hmm. I have Derek Carr going against KC on Thursday nights. I hate Thursday night games, and it has nothing to do with any conversations we've had before, so I'm not taking it there. I don't like Thursday games because your guys tend to either play really good from a fantasy standpoint or really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Derek Carr going against KC Thursday, but I have Carson Palmer going against Miami on Sunday. The comparison would be that Kansas City defense is 17th versus the position, and Miami is 24th versus. If you had to choose a starter. And, of course, the KC game, Miami. I'm imagining the weather will be probably cold in KC, which is where Derek Carr is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the other game going on in Miami. Where are you going with that? Who are you starting?
It's funny that you mentioned it, and I have a question for you when I'm through with this one. And you'll see why I was laughing when you was bringing this up. I'm going to go with Derek Carr. Because when it comes to the playoffs, I always try to remind myself, you know, unless a
you know
matchup,
what we yeah I know the theory we have the same theory
jump yeah unless a matchup you know just jumps out at you, you know, like I have a wide receiver, you know, going into Seattle and it's, you know, supposed to be a rainstorm and you know what I mean, those type of things. Like last week when I saw all these people playing Kaepernick, I was like, do they realize that it's like a blizzard in Chicago? But that's another story. So when it comes to your matchup, honestly, with the weapons that he has, that Carr has, I'm going to ride with Carr. So now my question to you is, I have a scenario in a 2QB league. I have 3 quarterbacks. Andrew Luck, I'm playing Andrew Luck. I always play Andrew Luck. My second one comes down between Carson Palmer and Marcus Mariota against the Broncos.
Man, you said you're starting Bortles.
Yeah.
Mariota, who was the other quarterback?
It's Mariota. I'm starting Luck. It's a 2QB league. So Luck gets one of my spots.
Right.
The
so the choice is Mariota.
Carson Palmer.
Okay, so Carson Palmer against Miami, Mariota against the Broncos.
Right.
Oh, man, I mean it's tough to say Denver's running defense isn't that great, because I'm looking at it here actually, because I have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, and I'm looking at it here
right.
In my league, Denver 28th versus the position. So that tells me that you can get a little running room. Passing, I don't know if it depends. You know, you gotta see what Aqib Talib's health is like.
Them boys, they all back. As Blake Bortles,
but
they back and they ready.
But if I had to choose, I'm avoiding running my quarterback against that defense. That's
exactly. Yeah, and I'm going with Palmer. I know they're gonna throw. This is a must-win. The weather will be nice. And even on Mariota, he's been a nice play for me. But going up against that defense, I'd rather take my chances with Carr going up against Miami.
Yeah. Now, just real quick to give you the rest of my starting lineup on that team. I don't know why. I still might go with Carson Palmer. You just gave me all the reasons why I want to go with Carson Palmer. Nicer weather. It's a Sunday game. They need to pass. They need to win. Miami's for a team that's in the playoff race. They look like they've given up, although we know they haven't, but they just look real lackadaisical. But my running backs are DeMarco Murray, 28th against, you know, the defense is 28th. Spencer Ware, is 29th against the position. Odell Beckham, Dallas is 26th against the position. Amari Cooper, Kansas City is 32nd against the position. Have a choice of – what's that?
I said those are good matchups. All of those are good.
Yeah, real good matchups. Then here's where it gets a little troubling. Well, I don't want to say troubling, but I have Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis. Philadelphia is second against tight ends. Last week they played against Arizona, who was first against tight ends. Didn't really work well for me. In the flex position, I have Julian Edelman.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Edelman
17th against the position is Baltimore's defense. But on my bench, the only person I could really see myself playing is, well, I don't trust Terrace West. I don't care that he had a good game last game. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
And I've got
Jameson
Crowder, who, you know, is going against Philly, who's 29th against the position. Dude, it's taking everything I have not to put in Jameson Crowder over Julian Edelman, but I'm sticking to my guns. And what do we say, Paris? Don't get cute.
Don't get cute. You got to go into
Although Crowder's averaging more points than Edelman, just for the record. He's actually averaging more points.
With Gronk being out.
That's a tough call, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's a good point, too.
Gronk being out.
But he was out last game.
Last game didn't count. Last game was like, that was like a JV practice. That was the Rams.
Let me give you the last 6 games for Jameis for Crowder. 14.2. They're going backwards. 14.2, 17.8, 28.2, 14.4, 30.7, 21.8.
Right.
Those are pretty solid numbers. Three of those games he had 100 yards. One he had 88.
That is good.
He's had touchdowns five of the last seven games. He's had touchdowns. Five of the last seven games he scored. What do you say about Edelman?
Edelman has been a little bit off this year.
I don't even know if he's been off or so much as Tom Brady is spreading the ball around. He's actually using other receivers. He's using Hogan. He's using Malcolm, what's his name? He's using his halfbacks. He's got all of his halfbacks back again. Edelman's last four games weren't bad, 22.1, 17.3, 23.9, 16.9, which I think points to what you were saying, is that the last few weeks as Gronk wasn't around, as he wasn't really healthy, Edelman's, and quite honestly, again, to your point, Paris, 12 targets, 11 targets, 17 targets, 9 targets the last 4 weeks going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's something to be said for your argument as well. But like I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with the guy who has Tom Brady throwing to him on Monday night. I'm going with the big gun. I'd rather lose with Edelman in the game. I mean, I'd rather lose with Edelman in the game than lose with him on the bench. You know what I'm saying?
And you can
sleep at night. If you put your best lineup out there.
Exactly. And that's usually what I ask myself in these situations. Like, okay, if I lose because somebody went off, you know, am I going to be able – and, you know, what's going to cause me to think about this all summer? You know, is it because Edelman – you know, if Julian Edelman gets 25 points or Crowder gets 25 points, but you bench Edelman and Crowder only gets you 10, that's going to be a harder pill to swallow.
I can live with the opposite.
Right. And if Edelman gets you 10, Crowder gets 25, hey, fair enough. You know, that's just one of those things.
And like I said, again, I've had Terrence West on my roster most of the year. This is how little faith I have in him. I picked up Darren Sproles Sunday at like 11:50 and immediately put him in the lineup over Terrence West. And I was comfortable with that decision. That's not good. You shouldn't be that comfortable with an 11:50 pickup on week 13.
Yeah.
11:50 a.m., you know, 5 minutes before the game starts. You shouldn't be that comfortable with a pickup. When you are, you probably shouldn't play that dude.
Well, I felt like a genius because I had Dennis Pitta, and I saw Vernon Davis on a waiver wire. And I said, you know something? I don't like Vernon Davis. I don't trust Vernon Davis. I'm going to roll with Mr. Pitta. And boy, did old Pitta come through for me.
Let me take care of some business real quick, Paris. For everybody out there listening, if you're listening on the Blog Talk website, give us a call, 347-637-3859. If you're listening to us on the phone, if you're already listening to the show on the phone and you'd like to get in on the show, don't forget to press the number 1 button. Don't forget, if you're listening currently, you want to get on the show, press number 1. So, yeah, Paris, it's a big fantasy week, man. This is a big week because in a lot of leagues, at least all the leagues I'm in, there's runner-up money. Like in the one league where I have a bye, all I have to do is win one game, not this week. Next week, if I win that game, I know I'm going to make another $300 on top of the $200 I've already won. That's a nice little come up, $500. You know, I'll take that right before Christmas. In my league, there's money for the runner up. I think it's like $250. I'll take that. In the other league, the runner up gets like $600. So, dude, sometimes, I mean, I forgot the one league that I'm in second. We get a trophy and a ring. Dude gives you a trophy and a ring. So, yeah, and then the other one is a $1,600 pot for the winner. So, you know, this is why we play. You know, some people gamble, some people buy shoes, some people shop. For us, specifically cats that used to play sports, who were into athletics. When we get older, you know, you have a hip surgery, a couple knee surgeries, we can't do it the way we used to do it, but we're still competitive. This is a way that we stay competitive. My wife understands it. Your wife understands it. And actually, quite honestly, there's a lot of women that are starting to turn to fantasy football as well. It's a very intriguing. It's a very intriguing competition, I guess I'll say. It's a very intriguing competition because it gives you that. It still gives you the chance to be emotionally involved, parents, but also win some money, be strategic. What are your thoughts on that before we move on to something else?
Oh yeah, I like it, man. It's strategy. And it's luck, but mainly what it does is it makes every game seem like it's so doggone important. You know, it's like a reason to almost watch every, you know, it's always something going on. You know, and like
right.
That's why, you know, a lot of you usually know, like Thursday night games or like Monday night. Like last night, all I'm looking at is luck, and I'm like, keep throwing. But I just want to run the score up. And then I'm like, okay, hurry up and take them out. You know, so even a lot of these Thursday night games where everybody's like, oh, man, that was a horrible game. I'm like, hey, not for me. I was looking at my tight end. You know, there's always a reason to watch. And that's what fantasy does. But on the flip side, too, since I'm so into fantasy right now, it's hard for me really to catch a game where I can sit back and watch and it doesn't have any implications. You know, where have this guy or that guy. You know, so it can go either way sometimes.
I compared it to whipped cream and nuts on top of your ice cream. It doesn't make the ice cream. It makes the ice cream better. You know, it's kind of like the commercial. You know, and that's kind of what fantasy football does. It doesn't make football fun, but it definitely makes football better. You know, it definitely gives you incentive to watch. Cause like you said, you know, I like the Browns, and I won't watch the Browns. You know, I don't have any Browns players. But – if the Browns are playing against somebody I'm playing against, you know, somebody I have going, now I'm watching. You know, Thursday night game, you might not want to watch depending on the match. Okay, I'm going to give you a better one. This last Monday, you might not have been interested in the Monday night game, but you had a quarterback going. So I had zero interest in that game. I didn't watch it, not one second of it. But for somebody like you, you're sitting there enjoying it because you had a player going, and you're enjoying it because you're watching your player go off. So, that's something – I think more people need to look into if they're looking for some athletic type of experiences without taking the hits coming across the middle. Paris, real quick, college basketball. Just saying. College basketball, real quick, Paris, some home interest. Illinois is playing IUPUI, or as we like to call them, IUPU. They're losing at the half, 42-41. That game is on ESPN3. Ohio State just tied up Florida Atlantic. With I think it's 9 seconds left, so got a little college basketball. I think doesn't Duke play tonight, or do they? When do they play? Duke plays Florida sometime soon. It's either tonight or tomorrow. Do you have any idea?
It might be tonight because I think isn't it part of the Jimmy V thing?
Yeah, but I just wasn't sure if it was. You know what? I'm looking at it. They're on right now. Florida, Duke is on. ESPN came on. Oh,
okay.
Coming on right now. So I.
Okay.
Oh, then you got Texas and Michigan. ESPN too. So I don't know if Michigan's any good this year. I have not even investigated Big Ten basketball yet. But that's what's going on that side. Let's jump back to the NBA for a second. I know we dove into it a little bit earlier. Excuse me, in reference to Russell Westbrook and his 6 triple doubles in a row. Last night. We had the player go for 60 in 24 minutes.
Uh huh.
Yeah, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter, from what I understand. I didn't watch the game. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
And
how
about this? Here's something that you'll like. I was listening to the radio today.
Oh, about sounds like a stat. Sounds like a stat's coming.
Guess how many times he dribbled last night.
11 times. I actually heard that stat.
11 freaking times. I'm like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Score that many points and only dribble 11 times.
For the record, Rondo just dribbled 11 times coming up court. Just throwing that out there.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
I'm just throwing it out.
And so how do you score? How do you score that big point?
I'm going to say this, Paris, and I'm sure, you know, the younger people that are listening or the people that are quick to call somebody a hater will call me a hater. I think it's indicative of the overall lack of defense, lack of physicality on defense in this league. There is no way. I'm not going to say there's no way you should get 60. I won't go there because these guys are elite. There's a reason that they are elite. I'm not going to say that he shouldn't get 60. But, man, 11 mm-hmm. dribbles implies that nobody was checking you. It implies that you got a lot of wide open shots.
It also implies how good of a shooter he is, too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's why I said I don't want to take anything away from – you still got to make those shots.
Because I was looking at that last night like, oh, my God. You know, it was like he was in a gym by himself and – nobody was around, and he was just having fun. And then his teammates, you could tell they were all looking for
him. Yeah, well, I'd imagine. And I was telling the guy on the train this morning, I said, you know, on my best day, when my body was feeling good and my game was at its peak, and I had my Wheaties and said my prayers and drank my milk, and I wasn't even scoring 60 on the play run.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
You could have left me out there all day. I wasn't going to score 60. He scored 60 in 29 minutes, man. Who did they play again last night?
Indiana. They caught the Patriots.
Not a bad
coming
day.
On the back end of a back-to-back after a big win against the Clippers.
Right.
And Patriots looked like their legs was a little, looked like they really didn't have their fighting legs, and Golden State took it to them.
Paris, maybe it's just me being old school. I mean, me and you, we grew up together. We played together. I'm going to hit you at some point. You're not just going to keep scoring on me before I take you out. I'm going to let you know I'm there. I'm not even implying dirty because you don't want anybody to get hurt like that. All I'm saying is at some point I'm going to hard foul you. I'm going to give you a hard foul. Number one. Number two, I will neglect all other duties to make sure, like when Kobe scored 81 on Toronto, I'm like, dude, foul that cat. Grab his jersey. Get up under him when he goes to shoot. Do something to make him think about something other than how easy it is.
And you know what? That's why I always say, whenever I listen to Jalen Rose talk and he goes on his little critical thing, I always think and go, you know what? You were the chump that let Kobe score that 82. And he always tried to justify
it. He definitely scored like 50 up here.
But he always tries to justify it and say, well, Kobe wasn't saying anything. Because I've heard people say what you said, what I thought. Man, why ain't y'all at least hit this dude underneath his chin one good time and, try to shake him up? And he always tries to justify it and say, well, it's not like Kobe was talking. You know, if he had started talking,
that's pride for me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you
that
and I
part
grew
of the
up
game
with Flash. Flash was the best player at the playground. I wouldn't go sit there and let Flash just keep using me before I hit him with a hard foul. I mean, we were on concrete, so a hard concrete foul, which is grabbing him around the shoulders. You know, not letting him get a shot off. Not necessarily throwing him to the ground because again, playground. But you got to do something. Your pride has to kick in.
But in today's NBA, NBA, can you even really foul somebody hard and not be?
I would have.
You know what I mean?
I would have taken one for the team, Paris. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're not gonna laugh at me as you're putting up 60. You're not gonna do it. I'm a grown man. Just like you. I'm in the league. Just like you. Again, I'm not saying hurt. I want everybody to understand. I am not in any way, shape, or form implying that you stick a foot underneath him so that he steps on your foot and rolls his ankle. I'm not implying that you take him out with something dirty. I'm simply saying, within the rules, grab him around the shoulders. When he's coming around picks, chuck him a little bit. Don't let him come off easy off those picks. Grab his jerk. Do something. Show some pride. When a guy gets 60
right.
points on 11 dribbles, that's a lot of open shots. Give it like you said. Clay is a beast with the jumper. No denying that. Take nothing away from that man. All I'm saying is pride. Show some. Dude, on my best day, I couldn't hang with NBA cats. But I bet you if I was checking one, if I could catch up to him, I'm grabbing him. I'm doing something.
Speaking of pride, the Bulls are showing pride tonight, and that's all I ask for. Don't get blown out.
Well, they're still,
show some
still
dog
losing,
pride.
But...
Man, they were
yeah,
down 17
yeah.
early in the second quarter.
Oh, they were down. Oh, okay. When I turned on, they weren't. Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't realize
yeah.
they were down.
Dude, they were
getting.
Okay. At one point in time,
it
went to 18. So,
okay, I got you.
After playing last night, okay, so I give them a little something. But it would
right.
be real
well,
nice
real
to get this
W. Let me throw out another college score real quick. You got Kansas is up 30 over whoever. It doesn't even matter at this point. They're running up into somebody real slow. UMKC, who is that?
University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Oh, God. Why are they even on the schedule?
Now, you know what's funny? You went to that school. I had an old roommate that I was stationed with in Louisiana that got out of the military, Damon Mitchell. And he went there and played basketball at that school after he got out.
Well, you tell them I said I don't know why they're scheduled against Kansas.
yeah.
In other news, Villanova took on LaSalle. That's a regional competition there with LaSalle being out there on the East Coast in Philly. I think they're in Philly, right, or right there or thereabouts. Hey, look at my little cousin. He went for 26 tonight, Paris. I know you don't care because he didn't go to Illinois.
Yeah, I can care less.
Yeah, he went for 26 for Villanova, led the team with 26. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, right there. That's nice. Okay, cool. So far this year with the NBA, we've had a couple storylines. We've discussed a few of them already. And real quick, again, anybody that's listening to the show, if you want to get in on the conversation, what we're talking about or what you want to talk about, you don't even have to talk about what we're talking about. Don't forget, press the number one button. If you're listening on the website, give us a call, 347-637-3859. Before we leave, Paris, before we leave the NBA, and mm-hmm. we're down, I guess we've gone about almost halfway through the show. Do you have any closing thoughts on the NBA so far, what you've seen this past week as far as, you have Harden playing good basketball, well, number-wise, he's playing good basketball. We mm-hmm. already discussed Russ, anything else on your mind?
Not really. We're getting closer, to the point where about everybody's played about 20 games. So now is the point to where I really start, sort of gauging teams, depending on, on injuries to see where guys are. And I just find it funny because, like I said, I told you about the guy that was texting me a month ago when Atlanta was 12-2, and I noticed he had to text me in about a week. Because Atlanta was like the second best team in the East. And I was like, dude, we played. It was like we had played like 10 games. So I'm like, man, we're like 8-10 games into the season. Can we let these boys break their gym shoes in first before we start second best in the East, third best in the East, and all that type nonsense? I'm like, the only thing that I do know for sure is that Cleveland is the best team in the East. Everything else, I'm like, I need a little time to wrap my hands around this.
In the words of the late, and I had his name, and I'm having a brain cramp for some reason, Dennis Green, if you want to crown him, crown him. But in the end, we're going to probably find out that they are who we think they are. All right, let's move over to the NFL, Paris. Let's move over to the NFL. Right now, looking at the standings, you have a 10-2 Patriots team and a 10-2 Oakland Raiders team, 11-1 Dallas Cowboy team. Out of those three teams, Paris, right now, if you had to pick, not even for the Super Bowl, because I don't go that route because it depends on matchups, but if you had to pick which team of those three, just like 1-3, just rank those teams 1 to 3, the Patriots, the Raiders, Cowboys.
I'm going Patriots first because of the pedigree. He's sort of been there, done that, his old hat. I mean,
right.
Can you really go against New England and Tom Brady?
I have no argument.
You know, for the second pick, I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay. Okay.
And,
now, that's what I was thinking you were going to.
Yeah. And,
go ahead. Finish it up.
I like where the Raiders are going. But
right.
I think the Cowboys are a little bit more old school. And when you can run and pound it like that, you
right.
always have a chance. You know, neither team
okay.
has good defense. You know, but
fair enough.
If you saw the game Sunday and you saw what Oakland did to Buffalo, you know, that was sort of special. Because it was like 24-7 or 10 or something like that. And people are like, all right, yeah, the Raiders hate that. And next, you know, they like ripped off 28 unanswered points. But I still don't know
you,
how
you
to
know
score points that fast.
It reminded me of the time we were in gym class and we were doing the 100. You took off and you started running backwards. And just when I got close, you turned around and you just ran away from me. That's what it reminds me of. That's what that game reminded me of, because Oakland took the lead, the quarterback sat out, they let him come back, and then they were like, all right, let's bring our dude back in, and let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah,
I thought you were
going to
say Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So let me ask you this, Paris.
Right.
You picked Dallas to be number two. I'm going to stay on Dallas. And I kind of know where your head is at. I just don't know what your opinion is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff football, as we both know, is a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a rookie halfback. You've got a rookie
mm-hmm.
quarterback. Now, like I said, running the ball is running the ball. It makes it so much easier when you're leaning on your halfback and that offensive line. If not one of the best, if not the best offensive line in football.
Mm-hmm.
But in the playoffs, everything is turned up a notch.
Right.
Do you still feel the same confidence in the Cowboys in the playoffs? And we're still a couple weeks away, even though we're in the fantasy playoffs.
Right.
But will you
right.
have the same confidence, assuming everything stays equal,
mm-hmm.
will you have the same confidence of them in the playoffs as you do right now? Or does the rookie thing finally – do we finally see that rookie game?
You know, the rookie game could happen at any point in time. It really could.
Yes.
Do I think we will see a rookie game? Yes. And that's why I don't have them going to the Super Bowl. Because at some point in time, I think what we're going to see is a team go in there, score first, and put the pressure on the Cowboys. And
right.
put the pressure on Dak and flip the field and change the game plan. You know,
okay.
and in the playoffs, the teams are good. So a team like Seattle, even without Earl Thomas, you know, if they go in there and get a nice, you know, 10-0 lead even, it's a different type of ball game. It's a different amount of pressure. So, yes,
okay.
I do think that is coming. But I can't wait to see it because I think it's going to be good. And, you know, I like what Dak has done. You know, I like what Zeke has done. And they won't go quiet. I tell you that much. They won't go quiet.
Okay. Now, I know you weren't prepared for this next one, but, you know, I know you watched the game, so I know you won't have a problem with this. I'm going to play a quick little game of contender or pretender with you. I'm just going to give you a couple teams, and I just want your opinion. It's not
okay.
a debate. It's just your opinion. I'm not going to refute anything you're saying. Your opinion. Contender or pretender, Denver Broncos.
Pretender.
And you can tell me why. And you can tell me why if you would like to elaborate.
But for Trevor Siemian, I just don't. And the kid has impressed me because at the beginning of the year I was like, what the hell is John Elway doing? I mean, but he's
right.
played better than I thought he would. But I just don't see
okay.
you winning anything with Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, fair enough. I can't really argue with you. Like I said, I'm not going to, and I'm going to agree with you on that. Right now, I'm looking at the AFC standings. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have the Dolphins in the 6th seed, tied with Baltimore and the Steelers. out of that three groups, pick one contender out of that three 7-win teams. Or out of those three teams with 7 wins, pick a
Steelers.
Contender. Basically, pick a playoff team.
Easy, Steelers.
Who'd you take?
Steelers.
I agree.
Dolphins.
I agree.
Steelers.
I have zero faith in the Dolphins. Like I told you, last week they looked like a team that had. I don't like to use the phrase "giving up," especially on a team that's in the playoff race, because you know they didn't give up, but they played
right.
Like they just had no urgency. I'd like to go with that. They played like they had no urgency, and the Ravens, I just don't trust. Okay, I'm gonna go away from the game real quick to ask you a question. Excuse me. Phillip Rivers, what is he?
As far as age?
No. Just what is he? I mean, because you see some of his numbers, and you think that sometimes you look and you're going, man, this dude, beast. He slings it around. And then you look at the team numbers, game, so I know you can't necessarily blame him for the record, but. What is he?
Yes.
What is he in your opinion?
he's a good quarterback. Hey, man, I watched him.
He's a
good
quarterback.
Throw,
okay.
I watched him throw 3 interceptions in a fourth quarter. Or was it 4 against Miami 2 weeks ago or 3? He threw like 4. And all I was thinking was, if Jay Cutler would have done this, it would be World War III on him. But since everybody loves the bolo tie guy, we're just going to ignore the fact that this guy just threw 4 interceptions at home in fourth quarter to lose a game.
You're not just going to gloss over the fact that you just called somebody a bozo tie guy.
Yeah, he wears a bolo tie. He's a bolo
tie.
I
thought you said bozo.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't wear the Western with the string
the
pull up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you said bozo, and I was like, how are you just going to call my man? I said my man wears a bozo tie.
Yeah. To me, Phillip Rivers has always been a good quarterback, but he's one of those guys that gets the shield. And, you know, if the media likes you because they consider you fiery, you know, because, you know, when you throw an interception, you go over there and you slam down your helmet. You know, sometimes they like that, sometimes they don't. But with him, they like it because, you know, he's fiery and he pumps his fist after every touchdown. So, you know, you're a great leader and you're one of those guys. Then you get the pass. And, you know, they make the pass and go, well, you know, this has happened. Every time he's had a chance, he's come up small. There was a couple years there with LT where they had shots, and he's come up small. And that's just who he is. He's a good quarterback. But that's it. He's a real good quarterback.
I wish I could argue with you. I can't. I wish I could argue with you because I like Phillip Rivers. But I can't argue with you.
Everybody likes Phillip Rivers. I'm the only person that likes Phillip Rivers.
Well, when I say I like him, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, he just reminds me of old school quarterbacks just flinging the ball around.
That's because he's sort of sloppy. He's sort of fat. He wears the gloves. He got the funky throwing motion, you know, with the short sleeve.
He'll get in the game. He'll start yelling and throwing it. Yeah, he does everything Jay Cutler does, like you said, without the negativity.
And you know what it is?
He's a bit more fiery than Jay Cutler, obviously. But
when you look at him, and we're the same age, so when you look, you can't help but think Dan Fouts. Because I know I do. Because that's what reminds me of.
I do. I wasn't going to go there, but that was kind of my thinking. Was Eric Coryell, when you had Dan Fouts out there, just go, you know, they're losing every game. Well, not every game, but they're losing games 47 to 45, 53 to 48. Chuck Muncy over there, like, I don't know. Kellen Winslow is like, I had 3 touchdowns. What do I do?
Dan Fouts would have been a great fantasy quarterback. He would have been a great fantasy quarterback.
That would have been fun. All right. Contenders or pretenders? Now, this is, to me, because it's a glutton in the NFC. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams between the records of 7-5 and 6-6. And out of those 5, only 2 are getting in. So I want to ask you, Tampa Bay, right now is 7-5. They've won 4 games in a row. And again, we're not talking contenders for the Super Bowl. We're really just talking about to make the playoffs. So contenders or pretenders? Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What are they?
I have Tampa Bay winning that division because I think Matty Melt is going to be Matty Melt, and he's another guy that's a real good quarterback, but everybody likes him. So when they falter again, you know, they won't have the specials on ESPN and everything where they just talk about how this dude, you know, blew a real big lead again, you know, where they had a 62 record last year and didn't make the playoffs. We're just going to ignore it and pretend like it doesn't happen. But this is another guy that typically comes up small, just like he did last week. Last week, he threw the game away. And the thing is, you know, everybody sort of gave Eric Berry props, who I think will be the starting free safety for the Bears next year. But anyway, everybody gave Eric Berry props. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that would have got killed for that. Cam Newton would still be getting roasted for making that decision pretty much losing the game. So I'm going to go contender as far as winning the division. Yes.
Oh, wow. Jimmy Butler just threw up an air ball hook shot from 4 feet away.
That's okay.
All right.
We still winning, right?
By one. Okay.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Here's just a little information, just to throw this out there. Atlanta and Tampa have played their 2 games against each other already. They've split the series. Again, both 7-5. Atlanta has a 3-1 division record, while Tampa Bay holds a 2-1 division record. So basically, Tampa Bay is they got what two more? Tampa Bay has 2 more games in the division, Atlanta has 2 more games in the division. And Tampa Bay has 3 more games in the division. So right now, it's a dead heat for that division. You're picking Tampa Bay to win?
Yes,
it's really hard to argue because, I mean, the Saints haven't really.
Rico.
You know.
3 cola, baby.
When you're 5-7, man. Yeah, finally. I still haven't seen that dude hit a jumper this year. I was looking at the computer screen.
You had to watch.
New Orleans is 5-7.
He hit them all last night.
No.
Right.
I'm good. I'm good on Nico. I don't ever need to see him again. The Saints 5-7. They are what they are. I'm not a big believer in a 5-7 team as a Super Bowl contender. So I'm going to go with they are what they are. You know, Tampa Bay. I like the way they've been playing, man. They have evolved into a team.
And Corey,
you know, it's no longer letting Watch Jameis run around. I like what I'm seeing from them. Go ahead. What was that?
And not to get sidetracked, but I want to jump into the Bears here real quick. And, you know, I know me and you, we talked a little bit about this quarterback thing, right? But whenever
contenders are pretenders, the Bears, for the top draft pick.
Yeah, pretender. But whenever I see, you know, Jameis, when I see guys like Jameis Winston, or I see guys like Andrew Luck, or even I see guys like Mariota, or the car in Oakland, it just brings it all home that if you have a quarterback, you always have a chance. And if you have that guy.
Especially in today's NFL,
if you have that guy that for 7 to 10 years, you know, and you might not win a Super Bowl, but you know what? Hey, we're going to run this dude out here for the next 10 years, and we're going to have a puncher's chance a couple of those years because this is the guy. And they elevate their teammates, because when you look at Tampa Bay, they really shouldn't be 7-5, because when you look at that team, you know, they got Mike Evans, the running back that's been hurt. You look on defense, you know, besides McCoy. I mean, for crying out loud, Chris Conte starting at safety. But, you know, the play of Jameis Winston, and that's what quarterbacks do. You know, like Andrew Luck, you know, people, I know he turns the ball over, but that dude has averaged, you know, and we all talk about how the Colts don't have this, don't have that, bad offensive line, bad defense, but I believe he's averaged 10 wins a year. You know, if you throw off the clunker last year when his kidney almost got, you know, knocked off of him. So that's just what a good quarterback can do, and that's why I'm saying this year, you know, I don't want the Bears to reach for one or do nothing crazy, but doggone it, I'm just ready to find that guy. That's all I got to say about that. I just want that guy. Yeah.
Good luck.
But I do have a I do have a question.
Okay, what was your question?
Get to it this segment. It's about a completely different subject, but it just came to my mind.
Okay, real quick, I'll just say this real quick. As far as the Bears are concerned, I'd like a quarterback. I'm not really overly impressed with any of the quarterbacks that are out there right now as far as a top three or four pick goes. The Bears definitely need to draft a young quarterback. They definitely need to get a young quarterback in the house in Lake Forest so that they can do whatever it is they do with young quarterbacks. You know, get them in there, get them learning the plays, you know, learning the NFL, the way and how to be a professional.
If the Bears don't draft a quarterback with the first pick,
I won't be upset.
Pace was Saturday night.
Which game was he at?
He was at Clemson.
I mean,
I believe this is third Clemson game that he's attended this year.
I just don't know if Deshaun is a guy you draft in the top five picks. I'm not saying I haven't watched enough of him this year to really say. I just don't know if I'd use a fifth pick in the first round on that dude.
In a perfect world, the Bears would probably take one of these, because I got a feeling one of these defenders, either Allen or Garrett Miles, you know, from Texas A&M, one of these guys is going to be a real haul. Now, in a perfect world, the Bears take the best defender on the board and then maybe trade back into the first round and take a quarterback.
What I'd like to see.
Or if you really scout him real good, you get that guy in the second round.
In a perfect world, I think that's what we do.
Okay, I was looking at the winter meetings today, and I was thinking, I was going to post this in a group, but quite honestly, I've just been too lazy to type it up.
Hold up. Say the name of the group for the people out there in case they're interested in finding a nice sports group where they can have debate on Facebook.
The Sports Authority.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Find us on Facebook, send a request, and I'll get you going. The Sports Authority. But, they, you know, and hopefully Darvish can hit the one button tonight and get in and get his comments on this. You know, I was looking at the winter meeting today,
Darvish hasn't called in yet. I look for that number. Oh. He hasn't called in yet. You know, he doesn't call in until about 8:30, though. So.
Right. I was looking at the winter meetings today, you know, just, you know, watching the whole deal. And I was like, first of all, would it be cool if every sport sort of had that little setup there for a week?
Yes.
Everybody sort of got their business and talked shop. Now, here's my thing.
Yes.
Like, I was thinking yes, but here's something else I was thinking, right?
Okay.
Every other sport, especially basketball, you know, all professional athletes have egos, right?
Right.
But every other sport, I don't know how it's going to play out knowing that your team, because I'm thinking about the White Sox, right? And I'm thinking about something as a White Sox player. And how does it feel when your bosses have basically said, yeah, we're trying to get rid of all y'all? Could you imagine an NBA team? and you see where I'm going? How would that play out in the NBA? Because, you know, with the NBA, even last year, you know, the Bulls had to go, hey, people called us about Jimmy. We didn't call nobody. Of course we wasn't going to trade the guy. Oh, we can't stop people from calling. But it wasn't nothing serious. You know, they called, we picked up, because that's the way you got to treat guys in the NBA. Could you imagine a setup like this in the NBA where GM comes in and says, hey, we're going to rebuild and I'm going to try to trade everybody. And then when it doesn't work out, those same players come to training camp.
Here's what I would say. Man up. Man up. You're a millionaire. Man up. If you're not a millionaire, you're definitely a couple hundred thousandaire. Man up. It's the business. This is the business you're in. You're in the business. You're in the business of possibly being moved at any time.
Corey,
and let's be honest. There are rumors throughout the season. Nobody's going to trade.
Yeah,
like, Russell Westbrook isn't going to be on the block.
But see, what makes
so what are we really talking?
But what makes this different is that the culture in baseball, and, you know, there's been winter meetings for a real long time. The culture in baseball is that this happens, and it's one of those things where you grow up in baseball, and I think these guys are sort of immune to it. But in basketball,
here's the easy
can you imagine
answer.
That?
here's the easy answer. Here's why you really wouldn't have to worry about that. The difference between in my opinion, the difference between basketball and baseball is that A, baseball has a lot more moving parts. At the end of the season, you have 40 man rosters. Plus you have all of the minor leaguers. So
right.
In basketball, the top guys just don't get shipped. Because the one thing about baseball is you can always strike gold. There's always a young guy that's going to come up. But in basketball, when you have that guy, when you have that hog, as you like to say, you're not going to move him because there's no prospects to move him for. So I guess the easy answer to go back to your original question is I'd like to see something like that, but I really guess at the end of my explanation, I'm realizing now after talking out loud that there's no purpose for it because none of the people we care about are going to get moved. They're not. And there's no prospects involved. So, no, I don't, as much as I'd like to see something like that as a fan, the realist in me knows there's no purpose for it. There's really no market for it. Nobody's going to trade their big-name players, and trades in the NBA don't happen the same way they happen in MLB. I think MLB, possibly hockey,
mm-hmm.
the only place you can really do that. I think that's the only place – you can really
yeah.
have something like this. And I think at the end of the day, that's what really makes the winter meeting special, is that we know somebody's going to move. Every year we know somebody is going to move. It's just a matter of who is going to move.
To me, that's a good point about players moving. But to me, the most interesting aspect in my mind is that the main difference is that with baseball players, it's okay for a GM like Rick Hahn to come out and say, hey, we're going here to these meetings and everything's on the table. Nobody's untouchable and we're going to try to make it happen. But in the NBA, if you were to say that, with the egos being the way they are, hey, I'm going to these meetings and nobody's untouchable and I'm going to try to trade everybody.
Well,
there
would
be a little bit pushback from the players.
I got to add that I don't disagree with what you're saying there, and I think the reason for that is that NBA players are guys that were the best player in their school, the best player in their state,
right.
and one of the best players in the country at any time. They got to college, they were one of the top players. If they didn't go to college, if they went straight to the pros or they went overseas, they were one of the top guys. And I think to your point about the egos, I think that's really the answer to that end of the question of why would it be like that? It's because NBA players have always been catered to. They've always been told how great they are. This, that, and the third. Baseball players go to college, they don't even get full scholarships. Just a thought.
Now, have you been watching this Bulls game?
They're down six. I'm not really. I'm eyeballing it, but I'm not really paying.
So
if you're gonna ask
the
question,
keep,
I can't answer. Probably.
How does that keep happening? Where the score was just 75-71, and then
probably don't
it's
want my
83. But I'm like, how do we keep giving up these doggone spurts?
I'm gonna give you this quick answer, and it has nothing to do with this game because I really haven't. Like again, I'm not really paying any attention. The one thing I've noticed about the Bulls, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this without going overboard, I understand that everybody keeps saying it's Jimmy Butler's team. Jimmy Butler's taking a lot of bad shots at the end of games. And when I say the end of games, I mean fourth quarter. And he's made some, but there's been some clutch moments where he's missed some. And I personally think that Dwayne Wade isn't getting enough touches late in games. Dwayne Wade is a closer. Jimmy Butler is learning to be that closer. I think they need to find a way to get Dwayne Wade more touches in the last 6 minutes of games. That's just my opinion.
But see, now, what's crazy about that?
He paid him $25 million to come in
and
do something.
Even like last night, that game we lost, I think Butler, like, stopped shooting toward the end of the game. I think in the fourth quarter, he only had like two or three field goal attempts. Every time I watch, it seems like, you know, they're running the offense and the main guy. We haven't lost too many close games. We seem to constantly be getting, you know, getting the wood put to us, unless, you know, that thing that happened, you know, against the Clippers. But even like last night, it was the same way last night. We were down big. We fight back. You know, we go into halftime. We're down eight. We come out. We score like the first 12 points. We're going back and forth. Fourth quarter, you know, we go into the fourth quarter. It's 86-85. Then we come out and don't score for like 6 minutes. And Evan Bum Turner scores 8 points in a row. And it's like every game, it's the same thing where somebody from their bench, because this bum from Detroit that I've never heard of before and never seen, I'm like, who is this dude? You know, and he's hitting shots. I'm like, who is this guy?
Well, I guess you could look at it a couple different ways. One way to look at it is to say, I mean, and this isn't my opinion, I'm just saying you could say, maybe the Bulls aren't as good as people want to believe they are. Maybe they're not as good in transition defense, which, from what I've witnessed, their transition D, specifically when they don't have the starters in there, or should I say especially when they don't have the starters in there, not really good. And sometimes
right.
when they get in the half court, I don't think they get good shot selection. And I don't know if that's because of the people on the floor, the coaching,
it's
or
his
what?
Shot. How did
yeah,
he get
yeah, well,
jump shot
yeah.
ever? See, that,
well, I mean,
that's
he's got a jumper, dude.
Right
he did it. He did it.
No, no he doesn't. No, he took a whole lot of shots. They were bad shots. He shot like 40% from the field. He's a bum.
You know, you hated. You hated Ish for years.
That's because he's a bum. Because he's really
hey, man,
not,
bums got
really
jumpers
not
too.
Good.
But I didn't say he was good.
Stuff,
I said he had a good jumper. I mean, Bum's got a jumper.
Like that.
Look, he just got to the hole again. Oh,
and Isaiah
oh, okay.
Cannon
pushed well,
off in the back.
Let's do this, Terrence. We're down to our last 15, 20 minutes here. And Darvis has actually called in. So, if you want to get in, we're about to talk about this Chris Sale trade for about 15 minutes. If you want to get in, Darvis, press the 1. If anybody else would like to get in on the conversation, press the 1. I know you're at work, Darby, so if you can't get in now, I'll be keeping an eye out for you. Paris, I'm just going to give again. I'm going to say this now. I when you're talking about baseball trades, it's really opinion, as far especially when,
uh-huh.
when there's no, you know, when there's minor leaguers involved. So whatever
right.
you say, I'm not really going to argue your debate with you because
mm-hmm.
it's your opinion, and there's really not a whole
right.
lot of fact-based conversation we can have. So here's
right.
where I am with the trade. Now, early in the day, I wasn't really sure what was going on when I originally talked to you about this. All I knew is we got the number one prospect in baseball. We got another top player in their thing. We got the number eight guy, whatever it was.
Right.
I don't know minor league baseball players. I can look at college
right.
basketball and say, this guy can play a little bit, this guy can't. I can look at the college football game and say, this guy can play a little bit, this guy can't. I don't know if these guys can play or not. All I can do is go by what people that get paid to know things say. And I'm not going to lie to you, Paris, the more articles I've read, the more quote-unquote
oh,
smart
yeah.
people
read,
I've listened to,
yeah,
they've said it's
yeah.
a good trade for the White Sox.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not
I,
saying
I,
that they're right or wrong. I'm simply saying somebody who I respect as an analyst, Steve Stone has never shied away from saying negative things about the home team. When he was a Cubs
mm-hmm.
announcer, he would say negative things about the Cubs. When he was in Baltimore for a minute, he said the same thing. When he's as a White Sox announcer, we've heard him say negative things about the White Sox. Steve Stone, who's been in this game for 50 years, roughly, however old he is, he's been in the league since he was a kid, either player, I think he coached for a hot second, and as an analyst. He said that it was a good trade for the White Sox. That's all I can go by. I can't – no disrespect to you or anybody else on Facebook or anybody in the sports group. I can't necessarily take – if I had to go with Steve Stone or one of us, I'm going to take Steve Stone. If I had to go with
quite honestly, with
baseball reporter, you know, baseball specialist over one of us, I'm going with them. It's just a matter of how hurt are we as White Sox fans that we lost one of the best – hold up, and then I'm going to let you do it. It's really a bottom line of how hurt we are about losing Chris Sale versus our natural instinct to want instant gratification. What were you about to say?
Here's my thing. Don't, you know, it's easy. The Sox were almost in a situation where it was always going to be reported that it was a good trade for the Sox because the guys they got are going to have low numbers next to their name as far as the prospect ranking. So, of course, everybody's going to say, hey, that's good. We got their number six. We got their number four. Hey, we got the number one. Good deal, because you're assuming and you're projecting that all these players are going to be what you think they can be. And that's my thing with baseball trades. Baseball trades, I always hear that, even when they're not with the White Sox, but I watch these deals, and these guys are like, oh, yeah, that's a great haul. They got a great haul. They got a great haul. They got a great haul. Because everybody assumes that these kids are going to be who everybody thinks they are. And that's why when the White Sox first went into this process, one of the things they said was, we want an established major leaguer. And I think it was sort of a CYA thing. And I agree with that. Because these prospects are just that prospect. You know, you never know. And that was my main disappointment, is that they didn't get the proven major leaguer that they said they were going to get in addition to the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you earlier when we talked, we went into this, I'm thinking, okay, if we go with Texas, we're going to get an Odor. You know, if we're dealing with Watson, we're going to get a Trey Turner. If we're dealing with Boston, okay, they won't trade Mookie Betts. Neither would I. That would be crazy. But, we're going to get a Benintendi. Or at worst, like I told you today, okay, a Jackie Bradley. You couldn't pry Jackie Bradley away? He's like third, fourth in the pecking order. You could have pried Jackie Bradley away. And Han tried. I'll assume that Han tried to do that. You know, so I guess we'll see. Wait and see now.
Let me ask you a question. And I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. The question that I'm going to ask you is, I'm just going to ask it because I don't want it to sound like I'm taking a shot. I'm not coming at you, but I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to the point that I went to earlier. You and I had a conversation earlier about the Bulls. I'm not going that route, but I'm going to say this.
Right.
You recall the Bulls said they had a game plan for the offseason, right?
Right.
And in fairness to them, things happened. Dwayne Wade became available. The game plan changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all
right.
I'm going to say. I'm saying that to ask you this question. Jerry Reinsdorf said they had a game plan. They said what they were going to do. The game plan changed. Is it possible that we can find it in our fans' heart of hearts? Because I truly believe this is a Rick Hahn creation. I don't think this is a Kenny deal. I think this is a Rick Hahn deal. Is it possible that as fans we can say, you know what? Jerry was talking. Maybe he shouldn't have been. Maybe Jerry finally let the – not that Jerry isn't a baseball person, because he actually cares more about the Sox, I think, than the Bulls from a fan standpoint. But he let baseball people make baseball decisions. Is it possible game plan just changed, either that or he actually let baseball people have their own game plan?
Hahn was the guy that said, we want to get a major league-ready player. Jerry didn't say that.
Okay.
Jerry just talked about the
process. Well, then let me revise the question so that it's in the proper context. Is it possible that when the different minor leaguers, when the different prospects were offered, that when you get the number one guy, allegedly, again, that's all we can do is go by what they say, in baseball.
Right.
Is it possible that that changes the game plan, that when you get a chance to get a player, just like Dwayne Wade, the Bulls had a chance to get Dwayne Wade, the game plan changed. When you get a game changer like that, doesn't that change the game plan?
They said that they've been talking to Boston. They said that they've been talking to Boston for over a year. Boston.
Yeah, they've been talking to him.
Both GMs said this. They said that they've been talking over a year. So,
right.
Can't that much had a change in the year? So once you say you plan on getting an established major league ball player, then that has to be your thought process going in. Also, the thing with
Well, maybe they weren't offering these guys, though. And that's a fair – I mean, again, we're not possible. And I'm saying it's possible, Paris. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Well, I mean,
I'm simply
saying
it's possible,
like I said,
that a different prospect was thrown
day,
in that wasn't offered before.
Right. At the end of the day, I guess we'll never know. I'm going to assume they were never going
to
with that much
time. I think we can get a drink. I think if we can get Kenny some drinks, I think we might find something out.
I think there's two things that's going on in Chicago as far as the White Sox right now.
Okay, and I got.
I think it's one thing that's really going on, and I actually fired up and listened to 670 last week. I only listened for about a half an hour, but when the Cubs did what they did, right? It seems like the White Sox fans are now thinking, hey, we'll just do what the Cubs did. They were bad.
Not that
they
easy.
They got all these prospects, and look at them now. I think that's why everybody is so happy. But you got to realize something. The Cubs did it the old-fashioned way. They were garbage, and they drafted well. The Cubs have deep pockets.
Yeah.
And then they were able to go out and get a John Lester, you know, and they got lucky with the Arrieta thing, and you know, but they drafted well. Those guys that they have coming up through the Bryants and you know the catcher and the
Rizzo. They drafted Rizzo originally before he was traded to San Diego.
They drafted Rizzo, traded him
to San Diego, got him back. Yeah, they drafted well.
They drafted well, and I think some White Sox fans are missing that. This isn't how they did it. They did it though.
You'd be surprised how many White Sox fans don't like the trade. There's a lot of people that agree with you that don't like the trade.
And also, as far as Han, okay. Now, I believe this is my own personal theory. No matter what sport you're in, every GM, you get one shot at it, right? So you get one shot for your game plan. So you're either the rebuild guy or you're the we're going to win now guy. But you get like one shot. Like if you come in, like with Ryan Pace came in and said, hey, we got to tear this thing down. We got to rebuild. It's going to take at least 3 years to get us back competitive. But I said, okay, fair enough. You're the rebuild guy. Okay, so I'm going to give you time to do your rebuild. Okay, Han, and I'm not really killing the guy because I always like to win, but you're the guy that just went for it the past couple years. You went for it, and it never really worked out.
But
so
we don't.
Now,
I don't know that it was him. I still, and that's the sad part.
I don't care. Okay, let's say Brain Trust White Sox. I don't care. Let's say
and
Brain
then,
Trust
and
White
real
Sox.
Quick, and then real quick, finish that thought. We're gonna bring Darvish in because we're down to our last 10 minutes, and he's eating up. So go ahead, finish that.
Okay, and Brain Trust White Sox, you just plundered the win now thing. You just bungled that. You know, you bobbled that. So now you want me to trust you. And that was my main thing when I talked to you a couple weeks ago. We agreed on that. Okay.
We all just agreed on that.
I don't know who. I don't know if it was Jerry, Kenny, Han, a mixture, their wives. I don't know who. Whoever it is in there pulling the strings, whatever.
Not the wives.
Y'all do. You know, I don't know who's doing it. But y'all dudes, y'all messed up this whole win now thing. So now I'm supposed to trust y'all, the same dudes that screwed this up, now I'm supposed to trust you on the rebuild.
Yeah, that's a problem. I'm going to bring Darvish in real quick, but that was my problem, trusting guys that don't know
now
talent apparently because before Tim Anderson, the last position player we brought up was Ray Durham. Lasting effect. We had Gordon Beckham. Huh? They ruined Gordon Beckham, in my opinion. They ruined Gordon Beckham by making him by switching him around and playing with his head. But Darvish, I don't know if Darvish, I just realized that he took the thing off. Darvish, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
All right.
How you doing?
What's up, Darvish? How you doing, brother? So who are you a fan of now? Are you an Indians fan or who is this?
My fandom right now is up for grabs. I won't be rooting for the Red Sox or the Cubs. Those two things.
Just don't go to the Cubs.
No,
okay,
no,
as long as the
no,
Cubs
I
are
can't.
Out, still cool.
I mean, I have no problem with the gay and lesbian community, but I will refuse to root for a team that's rooted in that has a background like those two. But seriously though, I don't have a problem with the trade. Seriously, I don't. It just they didn't get what I thought they would get.
See,
because
I like the way you
prefer,
put that, because a lot of people are saying they didn't get enough, and I'm like, we don't know if they got enough.
I agree. You
don't like what they got. Okay, that's fair
enough.
Go ahead.
I mean, they got the number one prospect. The key word, though, is he's a prospect. You know, he's not a sure thing.
Yep.
He's not a sure thing. And then they got another prospect. I did a little bit. Investigating on him, and he's risen up the prospect ranks, but still though, you gave away an ace who you had under control for the next 3 years, and you didn't get all summer. All we heard is the asking price was going to be high, and they weren't going to come off of it, and they wanted an established player, and they.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. I mean, what happened to the status quo? You know,
they still
controlled him. You know, like he could have like complained. They still controlled him. They were in control, and I just don't think they got enough for him.
I watched a little video of Michael Kopech, and that kid has some stuff, man. I don't know.
Now the thing about him,
stuff. A lot of people have had stuff and been bumped, but
I was reading about him today, and it seems a mix on if he's a starter or a reliever.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think it's fair to say he missed some time for PEDs too. But let me throw that in there. I'm not going to give
he
the
did
good
what now?
Without giving the bad.
Wait,
he missed some time because of PEDs.
No, man, that's all right. But you know, I'm reading, and that's the reason
that's all
I'm like,
right.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm like, this dude might be a relief pitcher. And that was my other thing, and that's why I told you earlier, Corey, that I really liked the Nationals package a little bit more because it was first of all, I want to get Sale out of the American League if I'm trading. I'm just going to say that.
Exactly.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not leaving you over here to torment me and come into – whatever that name of that stadium is now, and strike out 12 in 8 innings and win 4-1 and remind our fans what we had, why they checking the box score or some dude in Double A. I'm not doing that. I'm sending you over there and let you torment the National League. But if you're going to trade an ace, I feel like even with the Dodgers, when we were talking to them, the one thing I felt like, okay, if we're trading an ace, we're going to get back a pitcher, a prospect that – you know, is supposed to be an ace, whether it be
I thought it would have been better to trade with Atlanta, because a team like Boston, who's in the running, a team like the Nationals, who are in the running, they're not going to give you too many of their everyday players because, again, they're in the running. That's why I thought maybe trading with Atlanta was a better move. Well, real quick, I listened, because we're down to the last few minutes. Let me throw this out here real quick. I listened to Rick Hahn this afternoon, and just in reference to your question, Paris, about whether he'd be a reliever or starter, he said that he has the makeup for a reliever, so he could definitely be a reliever, he said, but they're looking at him as a front-line top-end starter. So that's what they're grooming him for, just to go back to your earlier question. They're grooming him to be a top-end frontline starter. But go ahead. What were you guys saying?
Yeah, let's see how that works out.
Their track record with pitchers, they have a good track record with pitchers, especially the younger pitchers, Cale, Quintana. Like, remember, Quintana was a reliever. They have a good track record with pitchers.
Rondon as well.
The thing is, though, like what Paris said, the Nationals were offering two top 10 prospects, Even if it's like, just say Trey Turner, they don't offer him, but you still get the outfielder and you get the pitcher. And he's like, what,
You know the pitcher had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago, right?
The Nationals pitcher?
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago.
You know what we're forgetting
that plays into it, and this is a big play. Boston said that they were going to pay $31 million of Machado's contract.
You know what? I want to say that. That's why I think they ultimately got that deal.
We know Jerry Reinsdorf. Reinsdorf isn't quote. I won't call Jerry Reinsdorf cheap, but I will say that he's not going to invest a lot of money into the White Sox because we as fans don't support.
And
that's
and that
on
is
us.
True.
That is on us. We have to take our share of responsibility. When the White Sox are winning games, we were not showing up.
And that's another thing.
I'm fine with not showing up for a bad team, but you got to show up and support a good team.
And that's what scares me really about the White Sox and the whole rebuild thing. It's like, even though when the Cubs was rebuilding, the fans were still coming because, you know, they always will go, which gives them revenue. But I'm like, with the White Sox, fans don't come when you're good. So when you're bad, you're going to be like in a bottom 10, probably bottom 5 in attendance. So even if things break right and if these guys become quality ball players, will you have the resources? Because at some point in time, you're going to have to augment these guys where you go out on a free agent market, a la like the Cubs did, and get you some big guns. So will we even have the resources to get the big guns?
Well, let me say this real quick. We're down to our last – hold on a second, Dominic. We're down to our last 20 seconds. I hope that we can continue talking via the stream. But just in case we get cut off, would like to thank everybody for coming in tonight, listening to the show. We'll be back next week, same time, same phone number. Let's see if we can continue the conversation, fellas. We're gonna find out in about 5 seconds. If you get the AT&T love song, you know what happens.
hey, Darby, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How long has Courtney Hawkins been in the minor leagues?
Oh my
six
god!
Years. I'm going
it's
2000. I'm guessing six.
Hey, man, my point is, I'm like, okay, isn't there an expiration date on a minor league player? Don't sooner or later, you got to, like, come up.
Yeah,
he's
been down there for a while. Yeah, he's been down there for a while.
Man, he's been down there for a long time. And every year is the same thing. And I'm like, sooner or later, I think we need to trade him just because.
They do. Because he's not doing well or he's hurt. One of the two.
Well, I'm actually looking at it here. We're going to have to get off of here. Here's what I'd like to propose before we get off of here. Darvish, if you can call back next week about the same time, about 8:30, we will avoid baseball talk until 8:30. That way we can dedicate the last half hour to the closing, not just the White Sox, everybody. We can talk about whoever. But we can talk about the winter meetings for that last half hour. What do you guys think?
Because I got a feeling
all right, cool.
When we talk next week, we're going to be the trade of a couple more guys. So we'll have Todd Frazier be gone, and maybe I think it'll be stupid to trade Eaton, but I don't get it. And let me say this real quick, though, Darby. So that's the only other thing that's confusing me is you say you want young, controllable players, but yet you talk about trading your young, controllable players like Eaton, and I just don't get that. I mean, you know, like I told Corey, you want to trade Melky Cabrera, you want to trade Todd Frazier, you want to trade, you know, David Robinson, fair enough. I help him pack. That makes sense to me. Okay, I got that. But why would you trade your good, young, controllable players that's already proven to you that they're good, young guys or more guys? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I won't disagree with you. It's time to get out of here, man. Next week we're going to do this. We're going to dedicate a half hour to baseball talk. Darby, appreciate you calling in once again. Harris, we'll be back next week, same time. You guys have a good evening. We'll be back with everybody next week. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building. Real life sports talk, entertainment. Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement. Finger on the pulse of the enemy. Hey. Save it. You don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping.